Okay, morning everyone. Today's daf in Brachos is daf Lamed Zayin. We're starting back on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we're still involved in the slough, the caper bush. So someone showed me yesterday after the daf a wonderful picture of the caper bush. So now the one thing I learned yesterday, I mean, hopefully I learned more than one thing, but one thing I learned yesterday is that the capers that we eat, that's not the big fruit of the caper bush. Meaning there's this big fruit on the caper bush, it's called, the Gemara refers to it as the Evionos. And so apparently that's not the capers. The capers are those little thingies. Oh, what a great term. It's those little...
They're the buds.
Correct. It's those little... scientific at its best. It's those little things that are on the leaves, that are connected to the leaves. Remember the Gemara yesterday talked about the slav having basically four components to it. The leaves and the berries, those little tiny berries, which we call capers. So that, the Gemara says, you make a bar pri adama. The fruit and the cover of the fruit, remember, is called the kafrisin. The fruit itself is called the avionus. So for that, you make the bracha bar pri eitz. First of all, I mean, we've already discussed this yesterday. It's fascinating how off one plant or bush or whatever you want to call it, you're going to make varied brachas, meaning on one part of it you're going to make a bar pri adama, and the other part you're going to make a bar pri eitz. But again, as I mentioned yesterday, that shouldn't come much as a shock, because the bracha really reflects not what the plant is, but how it behaves. Meaning, so a fruit is something which regenerates. A plant is something which just simply grows from the ground. Okay, so that was our discussion yesterday. We turned the discussion yesterday into somewhat of a different twist, in that, how are we going to treat it vis-a-vis Arla? Meaning the halach is that the fruit of Arla, of any tree that is planted, within the first 3 years after it's planted, you cannot eat the fruit. The fruit is subject to Arla. As I mentioned yesterday, Arla applies in Chutzarts as well. Rashi said yesterday, that's Midivrei Sofrim, that's just a rabbinic enactment, that Arla is extended to Chutzarts. So here, as we live, unfortunately, here in Chutzarts, so we are subject to the rules of Arla. So how are we going to treat our tzlaf, our bush? So that was the discussion yesterday. So if you remember yesterday, one of the Amoraim, what did he do? So he wouldn't eat the actual fruit, the Evion, but he would do is eat the kafris, and he'd eat the shell, which apparently was an edible shell that was around the fruit. And it was the Chutzarts, and that's what he did. So the Gemara to that says, well, by what right do you have to do that? And the Gemara's explanation yesterday is, look, any opinion, even if it's not accepted, but once you have an opinion out there, a tenable opinion out there about any agricultural law in Eretz Yisrael, you can subscribe to that position, chutzarts. Kol ha-mekel ba'aretz, anyone who's mekel in Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't follow it, we could follow it outside of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there is an opinion that the kafris and the shells are not considered a really part of the fruit, and so therefore, it's not subject to Arla. That's what we said yesterday.
What happened to the Beit Shammai?
Then the Gemara, very good, that was going to be my next point. Don't apologize. So then the Gemara says, okay, but if you want to be Mekel, I can even be more Mekel. Because there's an opinion out there, Beit Shammai's opinion. Beit Shammai is not even sure if this caper bush is a tree. Meaning Beit Shammai is of the Suffolk, it may be a tree, may just simply be a vegetable, a plant. And Arla only applies to trees. It doesn't apply to plants. So since Beit Shammai is in the state of Suffolk, so now let's go with it. Let's work with it. And so let's just simply say, you can't call it a fruit if it's not part of a tree. At least Beit Shammai is unsure about that. So can we say that? So the Gemara says that's Beit Shammai's position. Look, I'm quoting the Gemara now from yesterday. If you have a machlokas between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Eliezer, those are two tenable positions. We're going to have to postulate like one of them, but those are two tenable positions, and we can take the Mekel position and use it under such circumstances. However, Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai ain't no Mishnah. It's just simply not a tenable position, and so therefore we can't even accept it as a kula of Arla in Chutzaris. Okay. What was it? Last year, Rabbi spoke about this? About Beit Shammai? Beit Shammai's position being rejected?
Yeah.
Okay, Beit Shammai Makamil Eina Mishnah. Now, we are going to start again. We're three lines from the top of the Amud, and let's start this discussion again. I know we started yesterday, but it's complicated. Let's start from the beginning. It'll give us a fair chance. V'tipikle denasa shomer lapri. V'rachmana amar v'ala samar lasos piryo. Esatafu lapiryo. Ma'niu shomer lapri. So the Gemara says, look, the behavior of this Amora, oh, was it Ravina? Let's say yes. Ravina amar b'ravashi. The behavior of this Amora, where he ate the shell, the kafrisin of the tzlaf fruit. The Gemara says, I don't understand. It's a shomer. And as a rule, we know that Arla applies not only to the fruit, but to the shell around the fruit, as long as that shell around the fruit is providing protection. Now, we're gonna do in our classic Gemara way today, is we're going to define what does that mean, protection. What does protection actually mean? But right now, just throwing the statement out there, so obviously it begs the question, how can he eat the shell of the fruit when we know Arla applies to the shell as well, to the shomer as well? So I'm a Rava, so we're going to now have Rava say it, and he's going to try to say it three times. Now, three times is a charm. Also, three strikes and you're out. But three times is a charm. He's going to try to say it three times over in terms of what is going to be our definition of a shomer. And by the third time, he's going to say it finally to the point where we understand why the kafritza may not be a shomer. But in the meantime, however, we're going to try attempt number one of Rava. Am Rava hecham in the derasa shom la pri hechad isa bein betalsh bein mechuber hachav bein mechuber isa betalsh leisam. Okay, so attempt number one of Rava is like this. I'll tell you what a shomer is. A shomer is a shomer when it's on the fruit, both when it's attached and detached. However, the kafrisin is only on and around the fruit only when it's attached, not when it's detached. Therefore, it is not technically a shomer. This is the first way that Rava is going to try to explain why the kafrisin does not behave like a shomer. It's not a shomer. So the Gemara talks about the pitam shel rimon. I know circus is coming up. Trust me, I know. Dream last night about lulav and esrog. Okay, so actually the dream was that I got the shipment already. So okay, so anyway, so pitam shel rimon. So you have a pitam of a rimon. So the pitam is not the stem; it's the other side, right? The, you know, whatever, however you want to describe it, it's a pitam. So pitam shel rimon mitzter efes. So it will be mitzdarif, meaning that this is the world of Tumas and Tumas Tahara, and we're talking right now about Tumas Ochlin. Now, we know by Tumas Ochlin that in order for a food to be Mekabel Tumah and to transmit Tumah, it has to be the size of a Kabetza. And now, to get to that shear of a Kabetza, I can add to that even the nates. Even the pitum. The pitum, which is not necessarily an edible part of the pomegranate, but I can add that because it is a shomer. And a shomer combines with the rest of the fruit in order to get to that shear of kabetza. But not the nates. Now the nates is that little hair patch bristling right on top of the pitum. Now look. The idea is like this. The nates itself is not mitzarif because it's not a food. And meanwhile, we know that when it comes to the shells of the rimon and even the nates and the shells of the egos and the seeds as well, they're all going to be chayav and arla. And even though they don't stay on the pomegranate after it's detached. So again, you see that our first definition of Rava, of what is a shomer, something that only stays on while it's attached and detached, is not necessarily so. At least we've proven it by pomegranate. So Alam Rava Hecha Amina Danasalu Shomer Lepri Hecha Disa Bishas Gemar Pri Hai Kafras Leisa Bishas Gemar Pri. So the Gemara says like this: in order to be a shomer, this is now Rava number two, our second attempt of Rava to define what a shomer is. A shomer's got to make it all the way to the end of its development. If you do not have the shell on all the way to the conclusion of its development, it is not a shomer in the legal sense, and so therefore it doesn't subscribe to the rules of Arla. So Ini v'amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Baravua. So the Gemara says, okay, Hani mitachle de Arla siri holvenasa shom lapri. So the Gemara says, let's take a look at another shell that behaves like the kafras, which is the shell of a date. Now the date has some sort of layer around it, that as the date develops, so what eventually happens is that this layer falls off, this outer shell. The Gemara refers to it as tachle. Now, hani tachle da'arla asiri hovanasa shom lapri. Now we have over here a braisa, or a memra, okay, whichever it is, and it says that this tachle is a shomer. Now it doesn't stay on all the way to the end, but it is a shomer. Now the Gemara makes exactly this point. It's only on the date, only in the early developmental stages of this date, and not towards the end of the date. The kakari le shomer lepri, and it's still called a shomer. So this is a question on Rava version 2. So Rav Nachman Savalaka Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, well, that ruling of Rav Nachman, it was a memra, it wasn't a brisa. That ruling of Rav Nachman, if that goes like Rav Yossi, Danan Rav Yossi Amr Smadar Asramim Neshu Pri. So the Gemara says, well, this gets a little bit complicated. What we're going to do now is we're going to redefine when the fruit is a fruit. Meaning, Rava's definition of a shomer is it's got to be on all the way to when the fruit becomes a fruit. So in other words, we assume that the shell is going to be there, has to be there all the way to the end. And the end is when it qualifies as a fruit. What the Gemara now is going to do is explain like this. Maybe Rav Nachman agrees to this point, but what maybe Rav Nachman does is he defines the fruit as a fruit even in an earlier stage. So therefore, the shell that's around it at an earlier stage is considered a shomer. So the Gemara says, look.
Wait, why would it be considered a shomer then?
Why? Because it's a fruit. Meaning what we're doing now is we're redefining what a fruit is. We thought a fruit was when it gets to its final stages of development on the tree. What?
When it's edible.
When it's edible, not only when it's edible, but when it's like finished product edible. What the Gemara is going to say is that there is an opinion out there, Rav Yossi, which we're going to introduce to ourselves right now, who says that no, it is qualifies as a fruit even in an earlier stage of development on the tree. Most people would not pluck it off and eat it right now. It's too premature, but Rav Yossi says it qualifies as a fruit. Well, we'll see this opinion inside. The Gemara says, Hani Matchila to Arla, sorry, Rav Yossi, Skarlis, did none. Okay, so the Gemara here says, look, Mishnah Arla. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Smadar, Aser, Mimnei Shupri. So the Mishnah Arla tells us that Smadar. Now, Smadar is a grape in an earlier stage of development. Smadar. So, and it is considered a pre. So what do you see according to Rabbi Yossi? That even before it gets to the stage of finished product, it qualifies as a pre. And so therefore, whatever layer is around it is a shomer. And the rabbis argue in Rav Yossi. So it could be that Rava's working definition of what a shomer is not within the framework of Rav Yossi, but rather within the framework of the Chachamim. Okay. So Maskavlar Shimim and Davisharilanami Pliga Rabban Allah Vatanan. So the Gemara now is going to construct an argument, and the argument is the rabbis don't argue with Rav Yossi by any other tree. Vatanan, because look, let's go through Mishnayas together. Mishan Shviz, Mamasai and Kotzis and Silanas Bishvias. From what point can you not cut trees during the Shemitah year? During the Shemitah year, any fruit bearing tree cannot be cut. Okay? But it's got to be fruit bearing, meaning it's got to actually bear fruit. So Beit Sham is of the opinion is that when very early stage of development, of fruit development, budding. When it comes to basically any other tree, you have to actually have a fruit start to actually develop. Now, Rav Asi says that when it comes to the Boser is an earlier stage of grape development. So it is also known as the Garua, and it's also known as the white bean. Now the Gemara says, what? Pull a lavan? What do you mean? It's not a white bean. Pull a lavan, sagadach, elayim, a shi'ur, kapul a lavan. Meaning, no. That pull of lavan was not telling us what it is, it's telling us how big it is. It's the size of a white bean. So, man shamalei damar boser in smadar lo. Now, who's of the opinion that it must be boser and it cannot be smadar? Rabbanan, that is the rabbis. Meaning, there's a fundamental debate in terms of when during grape development is it considered a fruit. So we have a machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. Rav Yossi say, really early, this thing called smadar. The Chachamim disagree. They say, no, it's boser. Boser is a later stage of development. V'ktanit kol shar kol ha'ilanos mishiyotziu. But meanwhile, even though you see that this position of the Chachamim is in that Mishnah Shvi'is, which we just learned, you also saw that by any other tree, from the moment that it emerges, it's considered a fruit. So now, we're kind of stuck. Because basically, now what we see is that regarding all other trees, once the fruit starts developing, it is a fruit. In the world of Arla, you can't eat it. Now, We're going to have to go back to now our definition of what a shomer is. So again, let's go over by this slough fruit. So the way the kafrisim behaves is that it develops over the fruit while the fruit is in development, but it doesn't make it all the way to the end. Sometime before it's picked off, it falls off. So the Gemara, so what Rava was trying to argue is, that's why it's not a shomer, because it's not over the fruit while it's a pre.
While it's a baby.
While it's a baby. And meanwhile, what we've learned through this Mishnah and Shvi is that it is a fruit. It's considered a fruit on the tree, even in the early stages of development. There may be some point of disagreement in terms of a grape, when the grape is considered a fruit, at the point of smadar, at the point of boser, okay, that's by grapes. But when it comes to any other tree, it's a fruit when it starts developing on the tree. So now what we have to do is we have to come up with a new definition of what a shomer is. Otherwise, we're stuck with how can Ravina Mar Baravashi be eating the kafrisin of a baby tree, which is within its first 3 years.
The last definition of Rava, Rava's giving the definition.
Rava's trying to define for us what is a shomer. And through that definition, we're going to try to now justify the behavior of Mar Baravashi in terms of how he was able to eat the kafrisin. Because if the kafrisin qualifies as a shomer, he can't eat it. It's arla.
What exactly is the going definition that we're working on?
Right now, we tried, I'll review with you the first two attempts of Rava. The first attempt of Rava is it has to be on while attached and detached.
On while attached.
And detached. I mean, this like the shell of an orange.
Okay,
that's.
It's on
while it's attached. It's on even after it's detached.
Right. And what happened with the Rimon that?
No, this one is.
I don't want to go. Let me not go through step by step of the Gemara. Yeah. It's just going to take. I'm sorry. It's a time issue. I apologize. But now that was the first attempt of Rava. The Gemara didn't like it. The Gemara then gave a second attempt of Rava's definition, which is it stays on all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. That's definition number two of Rava.
But when does it start?
Huh?
When does it start? Yeah.
No, in other words, as this Evyon grows, the shell grows around it. But then sometime during development, it falls off. And Rava says, well, that's not a shomer, because a shomer's got to stay on all the way to the end of development.
Okay.
Gemara didn't like that as well. Why? Because it qualifies as a fruit, in Arla sense, in its early stages of development. So the Gemara didn't like that as well. El Amar Rava, so now we're up to last and certainly not least.
And we're getting rid of because this definition would be problematic because even when the fruit is a baby, it's still called a fruit.
Right,
and
correct.
So therefore,
right.
The shomer
correct.
Is on
so
it.
So correct, 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 correct. Okay, fine. So, Ella. So now, number three. Our third attempt of Rava. Elam Rava Hechamina Davi Shomer Lepri Hechadichisha Kaltel Leshomer Mice Pri. And by the way, this one is also so intuitive. Our third definition of what a shomer is like this. If you take off the shomer, the fruit dies. If you strip off the shomer, the fruit will do fine. If you take off the shomer and the fruit dies, that's a shomer. Meaning, that's exactly how a shomer is supposed to behave.
At what point do you remove it? On the tree?
It seems to be even on the tree. It's a good point. I'm not sure, but it seems to be. Now, but if you take off the shomer and the fruit's still doing fine, then obviously whatever this was, wasn't necessary for the protection of the fruit. It is not a shomer. Good. That's it. That's going to be our definition of what a shomer is. Mm-hmm. Apparently, okay, and again, you need somebody who is more agriculturally aware than me to say this. I'm saying this simply because the Gemara is now happy, so I'm assuming this to be so, that if you take off the kafrisin, off the evyon, off the tzla fruit, the fruit will be fine. Hava uvda v'shakla neitz rimona v'yavish rimona. And the Gemara actually tells us. They did studies. Case studies. And they removed the neitz off the rimon. And what did the rimon do? Rimon died. Good. So now the neitz serves as a shomer. Perfect. Because if we remember from up above the Gemara says the neitz is usur to eat. It's part of the shomer of the rimon. V'shaklu l'pircha de bitusa. Now this really threw me for a loop because now the Gemara is using different words to describe what we already don't know, meaning We don't even know what the caper bush fruit looks like. But now the Gemara refers to it as a betisa. Okay. Anyway, they took off the kafrisin off the caper bush fruit, what we called earlier the evyon. And what happened? Vakayim betusa. The fruit did fine. So therefore the kafrisin is not a shomer. And now we go all the way back to yesterday's daf. Mar Bar Avashi was eating the kafrisin outside of Eretz Yisrael. Check. He's okay. Okay, now what are we going to do now? We're going to skip the next lines of Gemara. They are not part of the Gemara. It's a halachic ruling of the Bahag. Somehow made its way into the Nusach of the Gemara. We go on. By the way, I mean, it's interesting. Read it, but we're going to go on. Pilpule. Now, what about peppers? Eating peppers. Rav Sheshes Amar Shakol. Now, what's the correct bracha over peppers? Now, I don't think the Gemara here is talking about your reds, your greens, your oranges, your yellow. Okay. But we're talking, right? We're talking about peppercorn, right? So the bracha shakol and Rava Amar lo klum, and Rava says no, don't make any bracha whatsoever. Az the Rava latame the Amar Rava kas pilpul biyom de kippur pater kas zangbil biyom de kippur pater. Now Rava's consistent because you eat foods that are not really edible, so you eat on Yom Kippur, you're going to be pater. So for example, eating a peppercorn on Yom Kippur, I don't advise it.
Well, it's
potter
also.
Right, and also, Phil's point is very should be taken to heart. Meaning potter, meaning that you won't be liable. No way the Gemara is condoning it, but you just simply won't be liable. Okay, but still, the point is that it's not a food, and so therefore, since it's not a food where you're going to get karis on Yom Kippur, it also is not a food that would warrant a bracha if you ate it any other day of the year. And the same thing is true with zangbil is ginger. So good. So that's Rava and Lishita, so he's not going to make a bracha on eating a peppercorn. If you have a tree where the tree and the fruits taste similar to one another, and Ezezeh ha-pilpilin, and that is, of course, the peppercorn. Lamdecha sha-pilpilin chayav ba'arla. Pilpul is subject to the laws of Arla. Olam decha, shein Eretz Yisrael chasra klum. And Eretz Yisrael is missing nothing. Shenem ha-Eretz ha-Shalob b'miskenos tocha ba-lechem. Lo sechser kol ba. Pasuk back in Akev says, it's not missing a thing, Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, but what you see over here is that peppercorn is subject to Arla. Okay, and it's a fruit. And it sounds like you should be making a bracha on it. So lakash ha-Bri tifta ha-Biyavishta. So the Gemara says, look, dry peppercorn, moist peppercorn. The Gemara says, "Amila Rabban Lamreimar." I'm sorry, I didn't spell it out. I assume it's kind of self evident, but let me spell it out. Dry peppercorn, inedible. No bracha. No chiyuv on Yom Kippur. A moist peppercorn, never experienced it, but a moist peppercorn, so would require a bracha. Is subject to arla, etc., etc. Amila Rabban Lamreimar Kazang Bilu Biyom Tikipur Patva Hamarava Hayhimilsa. Rasya mebe hinduye. The Gemara here describes something imported from India. Sharya. Now it's apparently some sort of cooked ginger imported from India. So first of all, it's mutter. Now mutter, what does that mean, mutter? It's a vegetable. Well, why do I need a ruling on Issa v'Heter? So Rashi points out over here, it's interesting Rashi, because it was cooked. And perhaps you might have thought it should be prohibited because of Bishul Akum. And Rashi says, no, don't worry about Bishul Akum. Why? Because it was edible raw. Anything which was edible raw is not subject to Bishul Akum. All right, Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Umevarchin ala bari pri ha-adama. And the correct bracha to make it on it is bari pri adama. Okay, so ginger now. First of all, we're giving a hechshar on ginger that is imported from India. I know, it's exciting. Right? So number one, no problem with Bishul Akum. And number two, the bracha is Bar Pri Adama. Okay, doesn't that go against what we just said regarding ginger? Lokasha b'tifta b'yavishta. Gemara says, same chiluk, same exact chiluk. The wet ginger, now this we all know, right? With the sushi. You know, the thing on the side. Yeah. Right. So that's edible. And fine, good. And but the dry ginger, you know, the ones in your pantry and your, yeah. Right, okay, you know. You're holding. So good. So that if you were to eat that ginger straight, You wouldn't be making a bracha. You wouldn't be chayv on Yom Kippur. Not that we're condoning it, but in other words, it's not a food. Okay. Good. Ad kan. Meaning we're not done with the daf. We're, in fact, far. We didn't even start today's daf yet, but good. We have now covered the topic of Shomer LaPri. Three attempts of Rava in defining what a Shomer LaPri is. Sounds like the Gemara is happy with his third definition of what a Shomer is. Shomer is something where if you take it off, the fruit dies. That's a Shomer. If you take it off and the fruit does not die, that's not a Shomer. We know the Isser of Arla applies to the fruit and its Shomer. So meanwhile, Marva Ravashi was eating the kafrisin of the tzlaf fruit, of the avion, in Chutz Aretz. So obviously, with working with Rava's third definition, we're good. In terms of making a bracha on inedible vegetation, like ginger, like peppercorn, so the Gemara says if it's the moist, wet, edible type, so you're going to make a bracha. If it's the dry, nearly inedible type, and it's only used as a condiment for other foods, so then you wouldn't, if you ate it straight, you would not make a bracha. Rava's third definition is if I take the shell off, the fruit dies. That's the definition of a shomer. Yeah, I say that third definition is intuitive.
Right. You think he didn't come up with it first? Just test everyone out.
I mean, through the process of again trial and error. You know, that's the way the Gemara works.
The definitions make sense for the caper bush, but they come
together. Correct. In other words, right. Stewart's saying is very spot on. Meaning, it locally, his definitions worked. But then what the Gemara did is it tried to generalize to other areas, and once it tried to apply to other Mishnayos, it didn't work out. But yes, but locally it worked. Okay, we move on. Okay, now we move on to a totally new topic, and this is going to be a complicated topic, and unfortunately, very halacha lemaisa. Now I only say unfortunately because something that's so relevant, you would hope is going to be somewhat easier to... You'll forgive me for saying this. Yes. Easier to digest. Right. But meanwhile, though, so it's going to be very halach lemaisa and very complex, both. So we'll try our best to. And again, our focus is going to be right. You're going to be tempted to ask me practical halachic questions. So, and I understand that. I get the temptation. But let's stay on daf and let's get through the daf itself. And then, and really, the halach lemaisa comes at the end of today's daf, which we're not going to get to. I could say it now. But we'll, and over the course of tomorrow, I'll try to outline some of the basic halacha, but you'll see it gets a little bit complicated. Chavetz Kedera, so here we talk about a dish that's made up of honey and flour. Okay, sounds good. And it's kind of like porridge, right? Hot oatmeal, something like that. V'chein dais, and also porridge as well. Rav Yehuda Amar Shakol Nia B'Dvaros. Rav Yehuda says, well, look, I'll tell you what the bracha you make a shakol. And Rav Kahana Amar Barim in Mizonos. Rav Kahana disagrees, and he says, no, Barim in Mizonos. Now, look, B'daisa greater kol yam lo pliga the Barim in Mizonos. Now, if it's just daisa, which is some sort of combination of cracked wheat and water, and it's cooked together, so if that's the story, so then everyone's in agreement, the correct bracha is Barim and Mizonos. Kipliga b'daisa kein chavetz kedera. However, we're talking about basically something that looks a little bit more like a kugel, meaning, and it's got a lot of honey in it. So in other words, there's wheat and a lot of honey. It's very sweet. Rav Yehuda Amar Shakol, Safar Duv Sheikah. Now Rav Yehuda says, look, the bracha Shakol. That's the correct bracha. Why? Because honey is the main ingredient. And since honey is the main ingredient, I look at the main ingredient to help qualify what the correct bracha is.
Rav Kahana, sesame sticks.
Right. Just replace sesame with wheat. Rav Kahana Amar Bar Minim Mizonos Savar Smida Ikar. Now Rav Kahana says no. The flour is the ikar. Smida is flour. The flour is the ikar, and so therefore the correct bracha is Bar Minim Mizonos. I'm Rav Yosef Kavasid. Rav Kahana Mistabra. Look. Rav Kahana is more logical, because Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, Rav and Shmuel said make the following statement. Now we're going to hear the statement a number of times over the course of today and over the course of the next couple days. Anything that has of the five grains, wheat, barley, spelt, oat, rye, anything that has the five grains, the correct bracha is going to be Barim and Mizonos. Now, let's go over the statement in more depth and more detail. Gufa. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechamish Zaminim, Mevarachim Alav Barim Minim Mizonos. Ve'ir Mar Nami, Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, There are two statements of Rav and Shmuel, and they seem to be so similar to one another. In fact, they're so similar to one another, the Gemara bothers the Gemara. What was the necessity of the first statement and the second statement? And both of them are made by Rav and Shmuel. So what does each statement add to one another? Look, if the statement of Kol Shehu, right, that was the second statement. If the statement was Kol Shehu, I might have thought like this. Yes, if part of the ingredient of this dish is wheat or any of the other five grains, so I'm going to make a bar minhag mezonos, but only if I can identify the wheat. But if the wheat is so ground up, it's so crushed that I can't identify the wheat, so maybe not. So that's what I gain from statement number two. I gain from statement number two of kol sheyeshbo, which means that it, even if it's ground up. Now the iyish min kol sheyeshbo, have I min kol sheyeshbo chamesh min and min, aval oriz v'dochen lo mishum da yidei tarovitz, aval isa beinei neima afilo oriz v'dochen nami mevarchen la borimin mezonos. Now if I only had statement number two but not statement number one, sorry, if I only had statement number one but not statement number two, I might have thought like this. Look, this is true regarding the five species, the five grains. And it's also true by rice and millet as well. But the but that's only if the rice and millet are ground up. But if the rice and millet are not ground up, so they are visible parts of the dish, maybe the bracha there too should also be barmin and mezonos. Kamash malan, wait just 1 second. Kamash malan, kol shehu mechamesh zaminim, hu de mevarchin al barmin and mezonos, lafuki arz vedochin dafil isa beinei, la mevarchin al alav barmin and mezonos. And so what we gain from the first statement is, when do I make a barmin and mezonos? Only on the five grains. Anything else, even if it looks like a grain, even if it behaves like a grain, anything else does not make, you do not make a barmin and mezonos. What the Gemara is saying now, but I qualify, what the Gemara is saying now is, I don't make a barmin and mezonos over rice and millet, it's not one of the five grains. That is what the Gemara is saying now. At least that's what we gain from Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, is that correct? Is that accurate? Meaning, I'm not a big rice eater, but I thought we make a barman and mezonos on rice. So because the Gemara will continue the discussion. The Gemara says, but look at the following braisa. Now, if somebody gives you rice bread or millet bread, so what bracha do you make? The same bracha that you would make over masa kedera. Now, what's masa kedera? First of all, what is it? Secondly, what bracha do we make on it? V'gabe masa kedera tanya. B'tchila mevarech alav barim in mezonos. So mevarech alav bracha achas main shalosh. Masa kedera basically is any dish where what I added to the dish is flour or any one of the five grains. What bracha do I make before I eat it? Barim in mezonos. What bracha do I make afterwards? Ala mechia. So the Gemara says what did the Braisa say? Rice and millet, same story. So if I have a dish made out of rice, even if I can't identify the rice, barim mezonos is the correct bracha. So the Gemara says like this. This is going to be an interesting answer. An interesting defensive move of the Gemara. Kemasa kedera lo kemasa kedera. Well, yes and no. Meaning, yes, the comparison to Maisa Kedera is correct, but it's not exactly like Maisa Kedera. The Mevarchina Lav Tchila V'Sof. Meaning, what we learn is that I make a bracha before, and I make a bracha after, when I eat my rice dish. V'lo Kemaisa Kedera, but not exactly like Maisa Kedera. D'il Kemaisa Kedera, B'tchila Bari Min Mezonos, U'V'Sof Bracha Achas Mein Gimel. Because if it's real Maisa Kedera, made up of any of the five grains, so then, Mezonos before, Ala Mech after. V'ilu Hacha, okay? But when we eat something with rice, I make a shahakal before, and I make a bari nefashos after. Okay. So essentially, let me just highlight this. Essentially what the Gemara says is, do you know why we're comparing it to Masa Kedera? Just to teach us that I make a bracha before, and I make a bracha after. Now, but it's not the same bracha. It's different brachas. But just the concept of making a bracha before and a bracha after. Now that's strange because, quite honestly, I mean, one of the baseline halachas of brachos is I always make a bracha before and a bracha after. So why the Braisa has to go out of its way to make a comparison, which now what the Gemara is trying to do is say, well, it's not a perfect comparison, but it's just there to make the point that I make a bracha before and I make a bracha after. Right. Admittedly, it's strange. I saw
the kind of bracha that
no, but the kind of bracha that you make is going to be different. It's just there to accentuate that I'm going to make a bracha before and I'm going to make a bracha after. But what I'm simply pointing out is you always make a bracha before and a bracha after. Why would there ever be an assumption that I don't make a bracha before and after? Okay, it's strange and it definitely requires more investigation. In the meantime, however, we're going to go on. Okay, the Oriz La Maisa Kederu Vatanya. The Gemara says, now let's go back to rice again. Elain Maisa Kedera, these are things which qualifies Maisa Kedera. Chilka Targis Solas Zaris V'Arsan V'Oriz. Now, in terms of what anything else mentioned in this list is, so I refer you to the Gemara in Menachos. Now, why do I do that? Because I didn't do my homework last night. Meaning, Rashi says, I'm sorry, not Menachos, sorry. Moed Katan. Rashi says, if you want to know what all these things are, look in Moed Katan. Okay, so I didn't do my homework. But in the meantime, however, of this list, Oriz is here. Rice is a part of the list. And so therefore, what do we just do? We just called rice a grain. Right? It is Maisa Kedera. So Hamani Rav Yochanan Nuri. So the Gemara says, well, that Braisa, you know what? We can isolate that Braisa. We could simply say that belongs to the opinion of Rav Yochanan Nuri. Now, for those of you who've been with the daf long enough, you should expect this to come. Meaning there is an opinion out there, it's not an accepted opinion, that rice is a grain. And it behaves like a grain, and that's the opinion of Rav Yochanan Nuri. Ditanya. Rav Yochanan Nuri Omer Oriz Min Daganhu V'chayav Nachimu Tzukaris V'adam Yosei B'yidei Chavaso V'Pesach. Rav Yochanan Nuri says that if I eat rice on Pesach, I'm going to be Chayav Karis. If I make matzah out of rice, I will have fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. Good. That's Rav Yochanan Nuri. Now I will say this as a pure Ashkenaz, as a blue-eyed Ashkenaz. We don't paskin like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning that is not an accepted position. Now I know that we don't eat rice on Pesach, but that's because we have issues.
right.
Correct. But in other words, we don't paskin like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. That's not the accepted halacha. Avar Rabbanan lo, and the Gemara says that's exactly it, meaning. So if you hear a brisa that speaks about rice as a grain, so now what we could do is we could isolate that brisa like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So v'Rabban Lava Atanya, the Gemara says, okay, what about this? The Gemara now is going to present to us another brisa. But before we read the other brisa, let's just make a quick summary statement of where we are right now. Because I know this Gemara gets confusing, and again, it's very practical. Right now, we're trying to figure out what is the correct bracha that we make over rice. And it is the opinion of Rav and Shmuel that you don't make a mezonos on rice. And you don't make an alamichya after you eat rice. But rather, rice is simply not a grain. It looks like a grain. It behaves like a grain, but it's not. It has to be only 5 grains. So right now, where the Gemara is at least according to Rav and Shmuel, you make a shahakal before you eat rice. And a burn of freshness after you eat rice. There's a brisa that referred to rice as maisa kedera, which means that it's a grain, and what the Gemara says is that brisa of Rav Yochanan Nuri. And we don't pass like Rav Yochanan Nuri. Okay. That's where we're at right now. We continue. Hakosis, the Gemara now quote, is going to quote a tosefta. Hakosis is a chita mevarech labor pri adama. You want to chew on some wheat? Okay, again, I've never done it. But you want to chew on some wheat, so you're going to make the right bracha, which is a bor pri adama. Tachna afa ubishla. Now, what if you do the following? Grind the wheat up, bake it, meaning what we would call bread, and then cook it afterwards. So take the bread and cook it. Okay? So, no. Oh, that's. I'm glad you made that point. No, to clarify, bishul is always in a liquid. Okay? Toasting bread is not really changing the bread. It's just making it crispier. But it means taking the bread and adding it into a liquid. Okay? That's the definition of cooking. So tachta hafa bishla bizman shaprusis kayamus betchila mevarach lav hamotzei lechem min haaretz. If the pieces of bread are still kezayis sized pieces, so you're going to make hamotzi. Well, v'sof mevarach lav gimel brachos, then you're going to bench afterwards. Benching in the Gemara is called gimel brachos. Okay, we'll learn that in the seventh perek, and we're learning that right now. Benching is three brachos. However, if the bread pieces are less than the size of a kezias, so then mizarnos to begin with, and alamicha afterwards. And now the brisa continues, and this is the part of the brisa that we're interested in right now. Hakosis is ha'orez mevarech la'bari pri adama. Now, if you chew on rice, hadama, tachno alfa ubishlo. What if we go through the same process? Grind it up, bake it, cook it. Alfa pisha prusas kayamos betchalim mevarech la'bari min mizarnos uvesof mevarech la'bracha achas main shalosh. So then the brisa concludes: you make a mizarnos before. You make an alamichia afterwards. Okay, that's difficult. That's really difficult. Now it's a kasha on Rav and Shmuel. So mani ilay, and now what do you want to do over here? That's the end of the brisa. So you want to do the same move that we did earlier, meaning suggest that this brisa belongs to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. That's difficult. Mani ilay, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri he damer is min dagan hu amotzel chamenach v'shalosh baruchos by bruche. Right, the obvious point would be, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, there is no difference, there's no distinction between rice and any of the other five grains. So you would be making a motzi, you'd be benching. This brisa cannot be Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. El lav rabbani, v'tiyufta d'Rav Shmuel tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay. So now what we have done is we have rejected Rav and Shmuel because we have a brisa that candidly says that you make a mizonos on rice. Okay.
Why don't we just reject the Havamina? Because they never said anything about rice.
What do you mean? No.
Oh,
you mean meaning maybe that's not what they meant?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You want me to rewrite the Gemara?
That's right. Why don't we
say Rav? Yeah. Well, can I answer? I don't know if it's a fair answer. Can I say it's Rav and Shmuel?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a legitimate answer, but okay. Fine. Now. Here's the story. At this juncture of the Gemara, all we're saying now is that Rav and Shmuel are wrong. Meaning, what did they say? Shahakol before rice, Bori Nefashos after rice. So at this juncture of the Gemara, we are saying we don't agree with them. The Gemara does not agree based on a brisa that we just quoted, which cannot fit into Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and the brisa says you make a mizonos. Okay. What is the correct bracha sequence on rice? Stay tuned. Okay. Amar Mar. Hakosis is a chita mevarech la'bari pri adama v'atanya bari minei zerayim lokasha Rav Yehuda harabana. Now, the Gemara here, I'm going to say this quickly because this is just a technical point. There's another brisa that says that if you chew on wheat, you're going to make a bari minei zerayim. So the Gemara says that's Rav Yehuda. Because remember back in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says that if you eat a vegetable, you don't make a bari pri adama, you make a bari minei deshaim. According to Rav Yehuda, it has to be a more specific type bracha. So when you chew on your wheat, it's got to be a more specific type bracha. Okay. Amar Hakosis is ours mevarech la'bari pri adama v'tachna afo bishla afa pisha aprusos kayamos betchila mevarech la'bari minei mizonos v'sof bracha achas me'ein shalosh. Okay, so we are going to quote the brisa. We're back to rice. We're back to our conversation about rice. We restated the brisa, mizonos before rice, alamichya after rice. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, yeah, but I have a brisa which says levesof velo klum. You don't make anything after you eat rice. Now let's qualify what the Gemara means when it says you don't make anything. Now you and I would think that means you don't make anything. which is not totally unreasonable because that's usually what lokla means. Rashi points out over here, that's not what it means over here. Can't be that after finishing eating a food, you're just simply not going to make a bracha achron at all. Mm-hmm. No such thing. So now, there are times when you don't make a bracha achron afterwards, but that's only if you don't eat the requisite amount. In other words, there has to be a shear in order to make a bracha achrona, so that could be. But in other words, the idea of just eating whatever food and eating a certain quantity of it and not making a bracha achrona, that Gemara, the Rashi says, it's totally untenable. So when the Gemara says velo klum, it means bari nefashos. Okay? So this second brisa says that the bracha after rice is bari nefashos. Amar sheshet lo kasha, haram ingamil harabanan. So the Gemara says like this, not a problem. One brisa belongs to Rabbi Gamliel, and the other brisa belongs to the Chachamim, Ditanya. Because we learned in the following brisa. Now let me give a little bit of introduction. to this brisa that we're about to learn. Rabbi Gamliel has an interesting opinion, and it's not an accepted opinion. Rabbi Gamliel says we bench. Now, when I say bench, by the way, I mean the full benching. Okay? I'm speaking colloquially. I'm speaking in Yiddish. We bench, according to Rabbi Gamliel, after any one of the Shiva Saminim. Okay? So you sit down to a nice pomegranate. Okay? So, by the way, I usually find when we have a pomegranate discussion, so I ask the question, who eats the seeds and who doesn't eat the seeds? And usually we'll go 50-50 in a room of seed eaters and non-seed eaters.
Let's do it.
Right, it feels like that's the only thing you eat.
I'm a seed eater.
Right, so a lot of people, what they do is they just eat the red stuff around the seed, and they spit out the seeds.
That's wasteful, right?
I think so. Okay, you sit down to eat a pomegranate. Rabbi Gamliel says you're going to bench afterwards. You're going to make a, right, not an Allah Eitz Val Priya Eitz, right, the Bracha Achas Main Shalosh, you bench. You sit down and eat a number of dates, you're going to bench afterwards. How about grapes? You bench. Wine? You bench. Rabbi Gamliel's response to any one of the Shiva Saminim is, you're going to bench. That's
what
the
opinion.
That's all right. I was trying to make that clear earlier. When I say bench, I mean benching. Take out the bencher. Birkat Hamazon.
Yeah. Including olive oil also? Would you say olive oil also?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Because the olive oil.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Olive oil.
I'm with you.
Or maybe just olive.
Olives, for sure, you would bench.
Right.
For sure.
Oh, because if the olive oil, you'd have to eat it. That's
now, that's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. And so, follow now. As we go through now another Tosefta today. Again, the fourth parak of Brachos. Okay, we did a lot. This is our second Tosefta of the day. Zakla, Koshu Meshivas Aminim, Rabbi Gamliel, Amr Shalosh Brachos. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you bench. V'chacham Amorim, Bracha Achaz Mein Shalosh. And the Chachamim say, which is accepted opinion, this is what we do. Alamichya. Well, if it's a pomegranate, Allah eats. Umaisa Rabbi Gamliel is the kenin shayim esubim baliyah biyericho. And another story, Rabbi Gamliel. Oh, we love stories about Rabbi Gamliel in Masechta Brachos, and it usually doesn't end well. These stories. So vehevi alifneim kosavos and dates and they ate dates v'achlu. But now Rabbi Gamliel reshus Rabbi Akiva lavarech, and Rabbi Gamliel turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, "Would you lead the benching?" Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, sure. And what does Rabbi Akiva do? Allah eats, Val Priya eats, and he makes the condensed version. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, Akiva, Armasai Tamachnis Roshka Ben Amachlokis. So Rabbi Gamliel turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, what are you doing? You know that's not my opinion. You know what I'm asking you to do is bench. What are you doing? Amalei Rabbeinu, Afa Pishata Omer Kain, V'Chavrecha Omer Kain, L'Maratein Rabbeinu, Yachid V'Rabim, Halachik K'Rabim. And Rabbi Akiva says, I'm following the halachic process. Your position is a minority position. Everyone else disagrees. And you taught me, Yachid V'Rabim, Halachik K'Rabim. So now what am I supposed to do? Now, granted, by the way, Rabbi Akiva was put in a very tough position because Rabbi Gamliel was a Nasi. I mean, he was the head of the Jewish people. Okay, correct. Now, let's finish the braisa, and I want to go back and discuss a very interesting point. Yachid Rabim Halacha Kerabim. Rav Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Now, Rav Yehuda says in his name, Kol Shehu Mishivas Aminim, anything which is Shivas Aminim, V'lo Min Dagan, but it's not a grain. Who? Oh, Min Dagan V'lo Asu Pas, or if it's grain but you didn't make it into bread, Rav Gamliel Omer Gimel Brachos, V'chacham Emom Rav Bracha Achas. Bracha achas. Kol she'eino lo mishivas aminim v'lo min dagan, kigon pas oriz v'dochen. Now, what if it's bread made out of rice?
Bread.
Right? What if it's rice and millet? I mean, Gamliel omer bracha achas mein shalosh v'chachamim omrim v'lo klom. So now we have a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. And Rabbi Gamliel says, for rice, then we don't bench. Excuse me. For rice, it is going to be alamichya, and the Chachamim say, no, it's going to be bar nefashos. Now, let's just finish up the Gemara over here. B'mayu kimtik, Rabbi Gamliel. It's good. So now, I've identified, who is the one who says alamichya after rice? That's Rabbi Gamliel. Good. So now, Ema Seifa Dereisha, the Gemara says, but remember what it said earlier, Emena Perusas Kayamas B'tchil Mevarech La'Barim Minim Ezonos V'sob Mevarech La'Barach Ha'achas Mein Shalosh. So the Gemara says, but if the pieces are not intact, meaning we're going back to the wheat. If the pieces are not intact, so you're going to make alamecha. So Iram and Gamliel, Hashta Akosefes Vaidai, Samar and Gamliel, Gimel Brachos. Imena Prusus Kayamas Mibaye. Look, Rabbi Gamliel's benching after eating a date, after eating a pomegranate. So if the wheat kernels are no longer visible, so you don't think he's going to want to bench? So Elapshita Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay. So it's the Chachamim Ihachi Kashi de Rabbanan. Elalolam Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, look, we're going to say it's like the Chachamim V'tini Gabi Orizol of Esof and Mavarach Alav Lo Klum. And what we're going to do is, and I know this is radical, but we do it every now and then, we're going to have to tinker with the Braisa. I mean, you're going to go back to the first Braisa that we quoted on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, the Braisa that reads, Uberchas Achas Mein Shalosh, and we're going to tinker it with it, and we're going to erase that line of the Braisa, and we're going to replace it with Velo Klum. Which means that for rice, what you're going to do is you're going to make a mizonos before you eat the rice, and you're going to make a bar in a fashos after you finish eating the rice, and that is the Gemara's conclusion. And that's how we hold today. Okay, and we're going to end today with perhaps one of my favorite give and takes of Tosfos. Look, let's go over. Now, Rabbi Gamliel has not accepted position, so this is limud al for the purposes of learning. And not practical halacha that comes out of it, but it's just so it's enjoyable. Tosfos on the bottom, Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, asks the following question. Rabbi Gamliel says you always bench. As long as you're eating any of the Shiva Saminim, you're always going to bench. So you eat a pomegranate, you're going to bench. You eat a grape, you're going to bench. You drink wine, you're going to bench. So the Tosfos wants to know, according to Rabbi Gamliel, let's say there are three people sitting down and having a meal of wine. Good. Now we're going to bench. Now, of course, benching with three people requires a zeman. Okay? Now, when you have a zeman, so what are we going to do? You're going to make a zeman over a cup of wine. Okay? We'll talk about that. And so now we're going to, after we bench over a cup of wine, we have to drink the wine. Right? That's a kosher bracha. So Tosfos starts off, Dan, excellent. So Tosfos starts off the discussion, well, there is now going to be an endless loop that's created because you're going to drink the wine, you're going to have to bench. You're going to drink the wine, you're going to have to bench. Good. So Tosfos starts off by saying, well, only one person's going to have to drink the wine. Okay, but still, that one person now finds himself now in this position of looping and looping.
No. Afterwards,
I think I saw this guy under the bridge.
No.
And
only once he left the bench.
Tosfos suggests, I'll just read the last line of Tosfos. V'yesh lamar, yachol shelo yishta klam and kosher bracha, v'im tom, v'im kama kama lo osam mevarech, shu tom tzarech levarech pam acheres, v'im kain en ladavar sof, v'yesh lamar, hechad einu shosa b'kvios rak malalugmav, moda remen gamliel. Perhaps, says Tosfos, even this Rabbi Gamliel position, this extreme position of you always need to bench, that means if you drink a significant amount, a cheekful of the wine would only require a alamichya, or in this case, an al hagefen, but not actually benching. Okay, so, but I just enjoy the discussion of this endless loop. רבי חנן מן הקשר אמר רצה כך יש ברוך הוא זעק וסול פיך אחר במתור מצו שנה מרנה חפץ המציקו יגדיל תורה וידיר